quality, no bother.
Right.
Did you just pump there?
Not at all, never.
That sounded like a wee in the background, I don't know what it was.
Ah, near the arc, I couldn't tell you where that was.
Derek's got that whoopee cushion out again.
Right, we get started.
Yeah, so on you go.
Wait a minute. Yawn again.
You're no yawning again, are you, man? I'm the one that's only had 3 hours sleep the day.
Oh, diddums, aye. Guess who's only going to have three hours sleep tonight?
Get out right up, yeah.
I think.
I think boring. I know I'm boring, Derek, but not that bad. Come on.
Oh, here we go again.
Oh, my goodness.
Excuse me. Who was the third? I've got Joe Worrell, Gareth McCauley, and
Eros Grisda.
We covered that in the last game.
No, but had he actually signed at that point in the last game?
I'm sure he has.
Did he?
2 seconds will pull up the thing. Notes for last pod. Players.
I know we spoke about him, but
rumored.
I wasn't.
He was rumoured.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. Right, we'll start that one again.
How dare you question me? Shocking.
Oh, pardon me. It's a Pepsi Max. For no. That's the Holy Trinity right there. I've burped, I've yawned, and I've farted.
Exactly, just didn't follow through, for God's sake.
Aye, no comment.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Hi folks, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave.
Good evening, Derek, how are you?
I'm not bad, just on the tired side again.
Yes, I've got a feeling that you're going to be yawning all the way through this pod like you were the last time. Oh my god.
Seriously, I never scripted that.
Shocking.
Mm-hmm. Right, so this is what happens when you've got a young child, isn't it? You should know this. You should know
exactly.
This.
Exactly. Welcome to my world.
Uh-huh. So, we've got a couple of games to cover today. One great, one bad. A few signings, a few refereeing discussions once again, and a bits and pieces in the news. So, we will rattle on and we will go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. So, the first thing to cover here is the end of the transfer window, Dave, wasn't it? We had a few signings.
Yeah, we certainly did, Derek, and a couple of very good signings, actually. Mm-hmm. I'll let you go over them, but certainly three quality players, I think, that will really add to our squad. And let's be honest, we're really needing them just now because we're pretty thin on the ground with suspensions and injuries and things like that. So, I'll let you summarise the ones that we've brought in.
Yes, three good signings there. First one, we did mention that it was about to happen on the last podcast. It was Osijek winger Eros Grezda. He signed for about £2 million, I think. That's the Albanian winger.
Yeah, and again, Derek, this is all hearsay from me. I haven't really done... I've never really seen him play, but he was, supposed to be there... Danger man, he was supposed to be Osijek's by far their best player, but thankfully he never played against us. Like we said in the last pod, he was injured, so we never really got a look at him. But going by reports that we've had, and I believe he was, it was Barisic and Katic who recommended him, apparently, saying that he was by far, this is rumoured again, Derek, but the rumours were, they basically said, like, this was Osijek's best player by quite some distance. You really need to go out and sign him. So, if he's going to turn out to be as good as how they have been for us, Derek, we're in for some player. And, it's cover that we need in that position with Jamie Murphy being injured, because we've really only got Ryan Kent and Middleton, and I still wouldn't really class Middleton as a full-time, you know, first team player for us. You know, I wouldn't think he could get pitched in for a full match as yet, just with his inexperience and stuff. So certainly exciting stuff, Derek. I can't wait to actually see him in action. I was hoping that he was going to be, you know, cleared and fit to play against Celtic, but unfortunately he wasn't.
No, yeah, so we'll just need to wait and see after the international break what happens there. But I would like to think he'll be a stick on for a start, wouldn't he? But
yeah, well, I mean, we might actually get to see a close look at him next week when Scotland are playing Albania.
Ah, right enough.
And that international match that's coming up, and there's a couple of Rangers players in the Scotland team as well now, because Ryan Jack's been included as well as Alan McGregor. So, and I've got a feeling that Alan McGregor might actually play. So I know we've said this on numerous times, Derek, you're no into international football, but I will certainly watch it, and that's just an added extra to see how he gets on. You know, going by the standard of players that he'll be playing against.
I kind of hope he isn't going to be playing, to be honest, because the cynic in me says that one of our rival teams will try and crock him straight away, won't they?
Well, that's, again, hopefully that's as you being cynical as you say, Derek, but at the same time, having players international level doing well, international level is always a big draw, you know, for us, and always, you know, stands us in good stead. So I hope he does play and he plays well. And I mean, really, it's just he's going to be playing. You know, if he's on the left hand side, he'll be playing at right back. So, you know, he'll be playing possibly against Tierney, you know, who's maybe going to get drafted in there. So even although he's a Celtic player, he is a great player, Derek. So if he does well against him, then that's, you know, it's a good sign for us. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one, but I'll certainly watch it and see how he gets on.
Next player is Notts Forest 21-year-old centre-back Joe Worrall, signs on a season-long loan. Not sure if there's an option there to buy at the end. I can't remember if that was the case or not, but certainly from reports, he's certainly a very, very good prospect, isn't he?
Yeah, Derek, again, I didn't know much about this guy, but I did some digging, and you know, apparently this guy, there was a bid of £11 million for this guy about a season ago. That's how well he was doing and how highly regarded he was. I don't know what happened to him since then, but going by the size of him, he looks like, you know, a massive, massive guy. So, you know, pretty intimidating looking chap at the back. And if he's as good as, you know, some of the reports suggest, then that's another excellent addition to the team.
I mean, in terms of the £11 million, I wouldn't get too carried away, because apparently Aberdeen rejected a £7 million bid for Scott McKenna. So,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the last one here is Northern Irish international Gareth McAuley signs on a one-year deal. He's 38 and he's a free transfer after being released by West Brom at the end of last season. So certainly you can only imagine he's backup, but he'll be a good experienced backup then.
Definitely, yeah. And again, Derek, I wouldn't have any qualms about throwing him in, you know, for any league matches or cup games, because I've got a feel I think he will get a few games. I think that Steven Gerrard, especially in the cup games, will rotate the defence a wee bit, you know, because, I mean, Derek, well, let's be honest, we've got a lot more games that we thought we were going to have for this season. So I think all of these players will get their, you know, I'll get quite a fair few games between them all, every single one of them, because going by the injury situation and suspensions, and as I say, by the amount of games, it's I think these guys will play. And, you know, what a fantastic and experienced international player to bring on, and good Blue Nose as well, Derek. You know, he said that he's playing for his boyhood heroes, and now his family are all Rangers daft, so he'll know what it's like to play for us, and, you know, I'm sure he'll give 100%, you know, even at the age he is. If he can emulate what David Weir did when he came in and he was playing at that age, then we'll get ourselves a fantastic player.
Yep, absolutely. Next one here is just a wrapping up of a contract. Alfredo Morelos signed a contract extension that keeps him here until 2022, so effectively ends the speculation about him going anytime soon, and if he does, it'll be a decent fortune, I would like to think, if we do sell him.
Okay, yep, pleased at that.
Yep. Players that went out is Jack Anik has signed a loan deal with Scunthorpe United until January. He'll be joining up with newly appointed boss Stuart McCall, so...
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, good to see him get out, because you always hate a decent keeper.
Yes.
You know, just sitting the sidelines. And I'm quite surprised at that, because I thought it would have been Fotheringham getting sold and Anik was the number two, but because it certainly looked like that the first few games of the season, so a bit surprised.
Yeah.
And the last one here, I have to say, I was quite amused by it, is West Brom put a cheeky bid of a loan deal for Tavernier with the option to buy after the season. And that's after their already cheeky bid of £1.8 million was turned down earlier this month.
Yeah.
How they thought they could actually do that was just outrageous, isn't it?
I know. It's as you say, I think they were just chancing their mitt there, weren't they? So maybe just to try and appease some of their fans to let them know that they were attempting to try and sign some players, even although they knew it was going to be doomed for the start. But you never know.
Yeah, exactly. So that wraps up the transfer window for this summer. Certainly, obviously, you can still bring in loan signings and still bring in free transfers. So, but I think we're fairly done in that market. I think there was about 13 players, 22 odd, that left or went out on loan with a view to leave at the end. So certainly a good bit of business. And you can't obviously be disappointed with that.
Brilliant, Derek. I mean, it's, you know, far exceeds what we thought we were going to get, because I think that's what we were all worried about when Steven Gerrard came in. Was he going to get the backing? Was he going to be able to bring players in? But, you know, it's certainly on paper we are built a very, very good squad. And if you look at the players still to come back, Derek, guys that we've completely forgotten about, experienced players like Graham Lawrence, like I've said before, to come back, and Jordan Ross are still to come back, Koulibaly still to come back as well. I mean, there's three, you know, guys that you could play in midfield straight away. The only thing that I think we're still quite light on, though, Derek, is strikers.
Yeah.
Because we've really only got two recognised strikers in the team at the moment, with Morelos and Lafferty, and I thought that we might have brought in another player on loan, which again I think back to Jason Cummings, Derek, it maybe have been made sense to have kept him on for another year with us, just as, you know, even as backup, because we all know he was capable of popping up and getting a goal here and there, and you know it could have been, and he's on fire, they're now playing for Peterborough, he's scoring all the time, so maybe missed the boat in that one. I think, Derek, we did discuss it before with regards to him, but he might have been a useful squad player to have in there as well, but you know it's one of these things, we just have to go with what we've got now, and hopefully it's going to be enough.
Yep, with a bit of luck. So, into the games now. We had the big game on Thursday, the 30th of August. It was the 1-1 draw away to FC UFA in the second leg of the playoff for the qualifiers of the Europa League, and we ended up going through 2-1 in aggregate. So a fantastic, just words cannot describe how amazing that felt at the end, wasn't it?
What a game, Derek. I mean, I know that you're going to get into it, but it was absolutely incredible. It was, a great start, and then it was nail biting at the end, and then, you know, finally to go over the line, it was just fantastic. And who would have thought that we would have got this far, Derek, at the start of the season? I never in a million years thought we would get anywhere near the group stages this year. I was honestly just hoping that we could get through the first couple of rounds, just so that it wasn't a complete disaster like last season. But what an achievement, Derek. What an incredible achievement. But I'll let you get into the match.
Yep. So we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Flanagan, Jack, Ejaria, Arfield, Kent, Candeas and Morelos. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Wallace, McCrory, Halliday, Middleton, Sadiq and Lafferty. Now, I missed the first 30-odd minutes of it because RTV went down. It went down for everyone, and obviously the issues have been allegedly sorted. It was, according to Heart and Hand, it was an outsourced issue that was the problem, and they've been told never do it again effectively. So, but I looked back on some of it anyway. I never watched the full 30, first 30, but we did go 1-0 up with Ejaria, wasn't it, Dave? It was a cracker.
Oh, fantastic goal, Derek. It really was. That was, in my opinion, this has been Ejaria by far his best performance for us. It was absolutely outstanding, doing what I think Steven Gerrard bought him to do, and that was to, you know, link up well with the forwards and the wingers and try and make space for him to either create something or indeed for him to score, which he did. But Derek, the goal was absolutely sensational, wasn't it?
It was a cracking shot from probably 18 yards, wasn't it, from the left side right into the top corner. You couldn't ask for a better shot.
Yeah, it was great play in the first place, Derek, by our wingers basically harassing their fullback and then their defender, winning the ball, and then the ball getting played into his area outside the box, and, you know, makes space for himself and just hits that fantastic curled shot right into the, you know, beats the goalkeeper completely into the net. It was an absolutely sensational goal, absolutely delighted for him, and it basically at that point, Derek, we were cruising, weren't we?
Well, I mean, I think that happened in the first 10 minutes, was it? I can't even remember the times, but, you know, that was effectively, you would have thought, tie over. That's for 2-0 up, you know, got that away goal, so it would meant FC UFA would have had to get, or UFA, however you pronounce it again, would have had to score 3 goals to go through. We made it hard for ourselves. I mean, certainly from the first 30, from the reports I've read, we were fantastic. We were all over them. And as soon as I tuned back in, well, it just went to shit. And maybe I should have just tuned right back out, shouldn't I have? But on the 31st minute, Ejaria hit a shot from the edge of the box and it went just wide of the right-hand post. It was good playing, good vision between Ejaria and Morelos to set up the chance. And then the defence just absolutely went to sleep. Just for the next 10 minutes, it was just ridiculous. And UEFA got a goal in the 32nd minute. Quick break forward. It was literally, in fairness, it was miles offside.
Yep.
The linesman was right in front of it, so it wasn't that, it wasn't the far side for him, and, you know, he got the ball forward into the box and he hit a shot past the keeper. It was, you know, a simple move. We should have defended better, but it should have been ruled as offside. So
it was, Derek, it was definitely offside. I said that straight away. You know, and in my opinion, again, the players switched off because they all knew that he was going into an offside position, but the referee didn't blow his whistle. The play went on and they got the goal from it. So I felt rather aggrieved at that point. True what you said though, Derek, they were coming back in it, you know, in that period that they scored. But for them to get a goal like that was, you know, was pretty tough on us, I must admit. And I did feel, you know, rather annoyed that it was allowed to stand because it was blatantly offside, in my opinion.
Yep, one of the first of many dodgy decisions from there from the referee. 34th minute, it was another quick break by UEFA. Tavernier was nowhere near his man. He had a good 10 seconds to close his man down as the play slowed down. He still never managed to do it, and the ball was passed to that same player, and, you know, the attack ended up fizzling out. But once again, Tavernier showing his frailties in defence. I mean, he was caught in no man's land, and then he still couldn't make up the gap when the play slowed down. Really pathetic play.
Yep.
And then the biggest moment of controversy of the game, Morelos got sent off for 2 yellows within the space of, what was it, 30 seconds? That was on the 37th minute.
No, even that, I would say, Derek, just within about 10 seconds each other,
His first one, absolutely justified. He petulantly kicked the ball away. And the second one, he was still arguing with the ref. He never left it alone. He appeared to mouth something and throw his arms up in the air, and the ref instantly gave him a second yellow and sent him off. Just absolutely baffling decision by the referee. I've never seen that before. However, at the same time, I put out a tweet at the time, Morelos is just, he's done my box in for the last time now, to be honest. I don't care if he's just signed a new deal. This is the thing that could have cost us majorly. He could have cost us a £10 million windfall and then probably at least £10 million in a transfer fee, because he wouldn't be in the shop window in Europe. We wouldn't get anywhere near that money for him. So it was a potential £20 million, you know, he lost us from that one stupid decision, because once again, he cannot leave things alone and just walk away. Yellow cards for kicking the ball away, fine. It was stupidity, that's fair enough, but for not just walking away after that, he put himself and his teammates in that position, and it was not good enough, is it?
No, as you say, Derek, I think everybody down at that point, because he's the type of player that we need, especially for games like that, someone who will put the other team under pressure, even when he, you know, when he's got the ball and when he's not got the ball, the perfect guy to play up in front on his own. And you know, if he's not on the field, then you know we're completely lost. The only thing that I thought at that point, Derek, is it's always better if you're going to have a man sent off for it to be your forward, because your defence and your midfield are set up exactly the same way. It's going to be slightly harder for your wide players and stuff like that, but you could cope with it better. So in the actual scheme of the game, obviously I was annoyed that he was sent off, it was going to be difficult, but I wasn't too concerned about her shape and stuff like that at that point. But going back to the actual red card, just sheer stupidity for the lad, it really was. And you know me, Derek, I like to make excuses for him because I do think he's a special player, but again, stupid. And I actually think we'll get into when he played against Celtic, I actually think that's, I know, another reason that I think he wants a wee sort of partnership with Kyle Lafferty, because I think he sees Lafferty as being the sort of experienced, sort of calm, which is quite scary when you think about it, having Kyle Lafferty as that man. But he maybe just does need somebody alongside him sometimes, Derek, to try and keep him calm up there, but it didn't work in that game.
No, certainly not. Just on the stroke of half-time, Ufa had a shot in our box and it went wide. Going into half-time, we obviously, you know, it was still in our hands. You know, it just made it a wee bit edgy, though, if Ufa did score a goal. And you always don't like going through and away goals. You want to outright win the game.
Yep.
So it made it a wee bit edgy, obviously, and we knew that Ufa were going to push up and just go for it, I think. Certainly, Candace came off at half-time. And Kyle Lafferty came on.
Yep.
48th minute, it was a good quick move. Kent gets the ball forward from 30 yards, drives the ball into the box. Fane's going outside, goes inside, hits a shot, slight deflection. A really outstanding save from the keeper with his opposite hand, putting it out for the corner. That was just, it was a weird way he saved it. It was just, you know, he dived to the left and he brought his right hand over to come and take it. It was a fantastic
save. Yeah, it was.
The corner eventually was defended, but it was a quick break by Ufa down the other end of the park, ending Ufa getting a shot off in the box, but over our bar. So it just shows you how quickly things can change.
Exactly, right.
57th minute, was a simple ball through the middle of our defence. Ufa attacker hit a shot on the edge of the box, curled it wide, hitting the outside of the post. Quite a bad miss, to be honest. It was easier to score, I think. 62nd minute, was a curling shot over the bar from the edge of the box by Ufa. 63rd minute, it was a great cross from Kent on the left-hand side. Finds the head of Lafferty and heads it down off a defender. It went out for the corner, but wasn't given another. That was the same side as same side as the linesman gave that the offside goal as well. And then the next moment of absolute controversy from the referee, John Flanagan was shown a second yellow and he was obviously off the park from that. Never seen his first yellow card, so I can't comment on that, but this one was just a terrible, terrible decision.
Yep. No, it was never a yellow, Derek.
No, he jumped up, his hands were absolutely raised, he was looking at the ball throughout, he caught the player with his, I would have said, you know, above his elbow, you know, maybe his bicep almost. Not leading with the elbow at all, and the referee deemed that a yellow card defence. Just absolutely baffling.
Yeah, totally. It was never, as you say, there was no intent there at all. He wasn't looking that way. He was completely concentrating on the ball, and you know that happened. So again, shocking decision against us also. And you know, if it was bad enough as being 10 men down to 9 men, it looked like an absolutely, you know, impossible at that point, didn't it?
Yeah, I kind of almost, you know, gave up in terms of thinking we're doing this, because just 9 men, you know the St Mirren Cup final was something legendary because we went down to 9 men, but you know, when does this ever happen in Europe and you still go through?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yep.
Anyway, we changed things about to try and accommodate that. Arfield came off and Halliday came on. 73rd minute, ball slipped through our defence after Goldson slipped. Their attacker wasn't expecting it and it came off his leg and he couldn't react quickly, quite thankfully, to be honest, because I think if he had got control of it, it was a simple tap-in. 76th minute, was a long shot from UEFA. McGregor punched it away and took an awkward spin, nearly going to the UEFA attacker, but it was a great save by McGregor anyway. Another great save in the 78th minute by McGregor after the ball was floated in from the left. The attacker got his head to it and the ball was heading into the bottom left corner, but a great diving save for McGregor. He put it round the post, I think it was.
Yes, great save.
87th minute, there was a quick break from our half, starting with Ajaria, takes it forward to the halfway line, gets the ball to Kent, who takes it left, starts cutting inside and hits a shot at an angle, but hits the side netting. I think if he had just cut in a wee bit more, I think he had lost his bearings.
Yeah, that's right. I know, it was a good chance, and still at that point, Derek, to be making chances like that, to still be looking... really sort of dangerous on the break. I think that gave the rest of the team the wee lift that they were needing, you know, at the end of the game like that, because we had been, you know, it was the Russian team that had all the possession at that point, so it was good to see that we were still going to cause them a bit of bother, and it gave them something to think about as well.
Yep. And on the 88th minute, it was a cross in from the left from UEFA. Crossing the left from UEFA, a header from the attacker ended up hitting off the base of the right hand post, so it was again unlucky. I think there was about 3 or 4 minutes of injury time, and in that time, yep, they did actually put the ball in the back of the net, but fortunately it was ruled a foul on Ajaria in the box, I think. Mm-hmm. It was,
yep.
I don't think it was a foul as well, that's the best of it, so I think we were a wee bit fortunate at that, but I'll take it every day of the week. And you know what, I'm not afraid to admit it, I got a wee bit emotional once the final whistle blew, because what an achievement. One, for the fact that we are only, I think, the 9th team to get through 4 rounds of the qualifying into the group stages, but the fact that it meant so much to us in terms of where we've came, yep, from, and the way we've done it as well with 9 men, it was just incredible.
Yeah, as Derek, I did the wee... I did the post match pod for YouTube, and I, you know, obviously if you go and listen to it, I got quite a few people getting back to me because I was a wee bit emotional myself when I did that. I was proud as anything, Derek, at the achievement. When you think of what that would have done to the players mentally and physically, what they had to go through. For all the supporters, it was absolutely fantastic. It really was. Even, Derek, let's be honest, even if that was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, when we were, winning league titles and playing in Europe regularly, if we had done that back then, we would have been over the moon with that, never mind just now. So that is, it's an achievement and a half, Derek, it really is. You know, obviously we're not going to get the credit that we deserve for that from the, you know, for the media in Scotland. I didn't suggest that we would. There wasn't much made of it at all. But I think we all know that that's an absolutely incredible achievement, something for us all to be proud of. And just a great feeling again, Derek, to know that we're back playing at, you know, a very high level back in Europe. You know, obviously it's not the Champions League, but if you can't get into the Champions League, this is the competition that you want to be in, isn't it? And I'm sure you're going to get into the draw, but you know, we're going to be playing, you know, 3, you know, fantastic teams, and you know, we're going to have big European nights back at Ibrox again, and that's what we all want, isn't it? Don't we? It's just, it's going to be fantastic regardless if we go through or not. Just to be playing in that, you know, group stage is just great for us, and you know, financial and commercial, and you know, just the fact that we'll be back on TV, and I think we'll probably be BT Sports. I think it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible. As you said, the draw, when was it last week sometime, we were drawn against Villarreal, Rapid Vienna and Spartak Moscow, so
yep.
You know, certainly, you know, from, you know, it's not the most impossible group, it's not the easiest of groups either, but you know, I'm just glad we're there. And you know, something,
it's great.
See if we do get horsed, and I don't think we will, to be honest, but if we do, I'm not even that bothered. You know, I'm just so happy being in these group stages from where we've been. I think we're going to give them a good game. Certainly, if we play to that extent, we've got every good a chances as any. Obviously, I can't imagine many of us actually know how Villarreal, Rapid Vienna, and Spartak Moscow have been playing over this season and over last season. But you know, bring them on. That's all I can say.
Well, Derek, it's funny that you're talking about that, but I was looking over some of the, you know, the league games and matches and stuff like that, and Villarreal are not playing well at all at the moment. They are actually sitting third bottom. They've played three games and they've only got 1 point, and they've got -2, and I think they're in a wee bit of a crisis. Derek, that goes for nothing. They're a Spanish top tier division club, so they're going to be a quality team regardless. We do not have a great record against Spanish teams, let's be honest, but if we even go out and match them, would be fantastic. Certainly the other two matches, Derek, then bring it on. I think that could be, you know, those two matches could be anybody's games. I think it just depends who turns up on the night. But Derek, we've got no expectation. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's great. It's absolutely brilliant. We have got no expectations of the club playing at this level. So I think that it's bound to go in our favour. It's bound to go in the players' favour. They're bound to know these things. And, you know, I just think it's all good. I'm delighted with the draw. I'm just really pleased this punch that they're there. And bring it on. I can't wait.
Yep. Obviously, ticket prices were announced, and it was £105 for the three games.
Yeah.
A lot of criticism was drawn at the club for that because, you know, obviously, it's £105. People were expecting it to be, rather than £35 a game, maybe something around about £30 a game or even £33 a game. They're not happy the fact that Celtic were £72 for the three games, but, you know, they... As what's been said, you know, they're probably going to struggle to sell that out because all their fans were expecting the Champions League. And when Celtic have been in the Europa League before, or the UEFA Cup, as it were, they struggle to sell out the games as well. So they obviously have to give an incentive to their fans. And obviously, you know, it's going to benefit our club, which is what people are crying out for. People have been moaning the fact that we're not getting to go to play Celtic away and take 8,000 fans, but you're quite happy, willing to pay £50 for that privilege, which is going all to Celtic, but you're not willing to pay £35 a game for the European games, which is going to benefit our club.
Yeah.
I do think, though, at the same time, though, that the biggest issue was the fact that the club were only going to give the people on the continuous credit card scheme 3 days before it came automatically came out their account. Because of the outcry of that, they've now extended it, and it's going to be the 17th of September. It's going to come out, so
excellent. Yeah, and it shows that they've maybe been, you know, they're actually listening to the fans as well, Derek. But I actually think the prices are very good. I was speaking to someone I know who is in the continuous credit scheme, and when they told me, I've just had an email. He says, how much do you think the tickets are going to be for the match? And I actually thought that the club would try and put the prices up higher than that, Derek. And I said, I'd be expecting at least £40. And he says, no, he says, it's only £105 for the three matches. And I actually thought that was pretty good. And I think it's something like £48 for a juvenile ticket for the three games or something, I'm sure he said. So, you know, I actually think that's really good, Derek. And it's still going to give the club, a massive amount of money, from the three games. And it's all good, Derek. I'm just really looking forward to it now, to watching them playing these games.
Absolutely. I mean, considering when some Premiership games this year have been anywhere between £24 and £28, puts that in perspective. So, the squad was announced for the Europa League games as well, and Jordan Rossiter has been left out, as with Lee Wallace. So, we'll get into Lee Wallace a wee bit later on about the appeal decision for his disciplinary, but Jordan Rossiter, I don't think it's any surprise, do you? And to be honest, I don't think we'll really see him back in our jersey, I don't think, because I just think his body's not suited for football. He seems to be made of glass.
I hope you're wrong, Derek. I hope you're wrong, because I do think there is a class act of a player in there. We've said it before. You know, the fact that he was out for so long and he stepped in at the end of last season, he was tremendous against Hibs at Easter Road. He really was fantastic. And I hope for his sake that that's not the case. But, the evidence is building up against him for the fact that he just keeps getting injured all the time. I know that this latest injury wasn't anything to do with his long-standing issues that he had. But I just wish the guy would have, a good full season, completely injury-free. I think we could have a class act of a player there. But I really hope you're wrong, Derek. I do.
Yeah. So we will get into the next game now.
Do we have to?
Well, I'm not going to cover it much because
the emotional roller coaster that is watching Blooming Rangers and being a Rangers supporter, going from the extreme highs of Thursday, hitting the rock bottom on Sunday. But I'll let you briefly go into it and I'll give you my thoughts on it.
Yeah, it was Sunday the 2nd of September, a 1-0 loss away to Celtic. Now, it was my sister's wedding, as I've not mentioned before, the night before, so I was a bit delicate the next day, and I really was, probably, I think I was still drunk actually, and I couldn't be arsed writing a proper proper match report out. So
you sound like me, Derek.
But we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Barisic, Jack, Arfield, Ajaria, Kent, Lafferty and Morelos. On the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Worrell, Candias, Flanagan, Halliday, McCrory and Middleton. Do you know something, that's the first time I've even seen Worrell's name mentioned, because I never even realised he was on the bench before. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's how drunk I still was. Pre-game, obviously, there's been reports of, and you've seen it on social media, of crushing from the home fans in the tunnel at the back of the stadium. Police have really come in for a lot of criticism with this and how it's been handled. They've kind of made a couple of statements saying it has nothing to do with the gates that were apparently closed. They're saying that they were open. I know a cop who was off duty as a Celtic fan, and he was in the crowd for the Celtic fans, and he stated it was absolutely shocking. He even said that to an on-duty cop that he's an off-duty cop, and he says that the cop's attitude was shocking in regards to treating them all bad. So, you know what? I really don't care what fan, who you support, what type of fan you are or anything like that. You know, that's something that's just a disaster waiting to happen, and certainly something that can't happen again. You know, it's a potential of being a Hillsborough disaster there. So you'd never want to see that to any stadium and any set of fans. So hopefully they kind of get to the root cause of this. I know straight away that, because of the new segregation arrangements, a lot of people were implying it's because London Road was closed off for a section of time to allow Rangers fans in. So I knew somewhere we were going to get part of the blame for it from some quarters, but that's a load of shite. It's nothing to do with us anyway, so... You know, all I can really say about the game is we were on the back foot from minute one. We never really got started. I don't think we turned up. Once Celtic got the goal, I think they were, they had thrown everything and the kitchen sink at us, and they finally got the goal after a wee bit of luck, which we'll get into. I think we had really two chances all game. We started to play in the last maybe 10-15 minutes when, or maybe 15-20 minutes when Celtic backed off after their goal, and ultimately all I can really say is the better side won at the end of the day, didn't they?
Yeah, Derek, again, I know that you're wanting to do this briefly. I've had time to calm down and watch the sort of highlights of the match again, and thinking of what the team did go through on Thursday, I am surprised that the manager picked as many of that team that played on Thursday as he did on Sunday. I think the lessons that we need to learn by even watching Hearts' display against them a few weeks ago was that Hearts basically went man for man against them in midfield. They put in three battlers in there in midfield and didn't give them a time to settle. We didn't do that, Derek, at all. There was quite a few players that didn't turn up for us. You know, we were praising Ajaria there. Ajaria, I think got caught up in the moment. He was pretty anonymous for us during the game, and I hate pinpointing players. Again, James Tavernier, going back to my point again, Derek, that I raised with you the last time. For certain games, I don't think players should be undroppable. And I think for that game there, I would much rather have had the defensive right back in there, John Flanagan, than Tav playing in there, because he got caught, you know, defensively got caught far too many times. The only plus points for us, Derek, was that we basically dealt with nearly every, you know, ball put into the box with our two central defenders, who I thought actually played quite well. Alan McGregor was outstanding. And we, you know, when Celtic were having all the pressure before they scored, we were limiting them to shooting outside the box, which was still pretty dangerous, but certainly nothing to the level that we were last season when, you know, every single time they were going forward, they were scoring. So, I mean, that's the one of the, you know, the points I can bring up. I just think that we completely set up wrong, the personnel's wrong also, and playing Kyle Lafferty up front, just to the right-hand side of Alfredo Morelos, just didn't really work. They were trying the diagonal ball up to him all the time for him to win, and it just wasn't happening. I would have preferred to have seen us playing three. I would have preferred McCrory in the centre of midfield rather than Ejaria. I would have preferred Flanagan at right-back as a more defensive right-back, and I would have rather have had Candias on the right-hand side. And Alfredo Morelos, probably also his most quietest game that he's had for Rangers yet, and I don't know if that was because it was getting drummed in his head that he had to try and calm down and not get wound up because he would get sent off again. I don't know if that's maybe played on his mind as well, so maybe dropping him for that game and playing Lafferty would have been the better option. But it's all hearsay, Derek. We didn't turn up, we didn't match them, and as you say, they had all the ball. Eventually they scored. It was a clear foul before they scored, but you know, you've got to play the referee's whistle. It was a shocker to take. But as you say, they played by far the better football. They had all the pressing and they got their just deserts, and we didn't at the end of the day. And I just hope that that's just a very slight blip, because it is their first defeat under a new manager, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to take things into perspective in terms of that point you just made there. The game itself, I can't really argue with anything you've said. You know, we did, you know, largely you know, mop up everything they'd thrown at us. Goldson and Katic were brilliant throughout the game,
yep,
as well. And McGregor was outstanding. We'll get into in a second, obviously, but and I felt that Lafferty was an absolute workhorse. He was getting up and down that park and getting into defence, you know, getting up forward. Granted, he never had a lot to do going forward. I think, you know, he could have stayed at the halfway line, and, you know, I think he maybe did do that sometimes. You've got to take things into perspective. As I said, you know, we had a grueling match for nine men with nine men for about 25 minutes of that UEFA match, and you know, we played about 50 minutes with 10 men. We had the travel as well. We never landed till 1:30 in the Friday morning. By the time the players got in, you know, got settled, you know, it was going to be, you know, quite late on as well. So, you know, it's the first defeat. It looks worse probably because once, I guess, it's against Celtic, obviously, it's never good, and it's, you know, you could argue it's never acceptable to lose to them. And we're sitting only, you know, obviously on 5 points just now. You know, you look at the games in terms of the Aberdeen and Motherwell game, we were winning these games right up until the last 30 seconds. So there's another 4 points you could have, you know, reasonably added on there. So we wouldn't be really sitting in this position just now if it wasn't for the games. But we are. Leagues are not won and lost in the first 4 games of the season, and they're certainly not won or lost in Old Firm games, period, really, are they? You know, Old Firm games don't generally, you know, settle games. So there's a long way to go. I think some of the overreaction from some fans is just completely unacceptable. Some of them are doing it for a joke and by saying, you know, get Gerrard out, #Gerrard out. That's, you know, it's not funny, put it that way, but it's a bit of banter. But there are some people that are taking it really, really, you know, to heart. It's never, as I said, it's never good losing to Celtic, but you've got to appreciate where we've come from, where we've been, and we did mop up, you know, pretty much everything. Yes, we rode our luck for a good amount of the time. I think Celtic hit the post and bar about 3 or 4 times, and McGregor was absolutely outstanding all game. And the point I was going to make about Greta McGregor, which we'll get on to, is, Dave, he probably should have been sent off if, you know, if we're being honest, shouldn't he have?
Yes, you know, it was a bad kick out. I seen it, you know, straight away, and then when they showed it on the, you know, on the replay, it was silly by him as well, especially, you know, the ball had just been cleared, so, you know, he must have known that, you know, it was going to get picked up. Thankfully, it didn't get spotted by the referee, but silly stuff by McGregor, considering how well he did play for us. And you would like to think that somebody with his experience wouldn't be doing anything like that either, but no, we did get away with that one, Derek.
But at the same time, that's the rules now. So
yeah.
It's all about excessive force, or excessive force and violent conduct. You know, that was arguably, you know, was it violent? That's a, you know, arguable thing. Was it excessive? No, it wasn't, which is the reason why he's not been getting done retrospectively on it. It's the reason why Morelos got his yellow card, so his red card against Aberdeen rescinded down to a yellow. You know, I don't necessarily agree with it because it does leave things open, as we've seen. There needs to be a consistency there, but there's quite clearly not the consistency because Rangers were getting, well, obviously with the Morelos thing, getting players sent off, whereas the likes of Scott Brown have been getting away with it, you know, time and time again. And that's what I don't, that's what really fucks me off, is the sanctimonious Celtic fans coming on and bleating, you know, thinking that their team's holier than now. They get away with it more than most. So I just wish to, for anyone listening, because I know some of them are listening.
I know. Derek, I'm not interested in what Celtic fans say. If they're obsessed enough to be listening to us talking about Rangers, it shows you how sad things are. I'm certainly not going to be replying to any of them and giving them an opinion, because they really don't matter to me at all. All I'm interested in is talking about my team and the teams that we're playing. The only reason that we're talking about Celtic at the moment is that's because that's who we played on Sunday. I'm not interested in them. I'm not interested in their supporters, and their opinion really doesn't matter to me, so end of.
On the note of the players getting back at 1:30 in the morning into the airport, there was a crowd of maybe about 200 or 300 fans there to greet them, which was, was absolutely incredible, wasn't it?
Absolutely brilliant, Derek. But again, we've all been starved for years of playing in Europe, so this is massive, Derek. We keep saying it. What an achievement, and I think it did show, you know, the team, how much it meant to the supporters, and, you know, great effort by the fans turning up to cheer them all back home. Absolutely brilliant.
Yep. Just on, in terms of the goal, as you said, there was a definite foul on Jack before, you know, Celtic broke up the park. And again, it's the consistency of referees. You know, he was given fouls for that, the exact same type of challenge just before, but it was against us. So there's no consistency. The only difference being the fact that we were in an attacking position and Celtic weren't at that point. So it's just baffling. And I think Willie Colum had an absolute shocking game, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not just for that decision, more for the fact that he's inconsistency. I can handle, you know, if he doesn't give us, you know, a foul on occasion, but it's the fact that he was given fouls for something 1 minute and an exact same challenge the next against us. Not, he's not given them. So
I think what annoyed me about it, Derek, and again, I'm bringing up the whole youth football scenario here. When I'm coaching, you know, the boys team that I help out, you know, I constantly shout at them for playing to the referee's whistle. And if the referee doesn't blow, you keep playing, regardless how bad it was. And that annoyed me as well about Rangers. We all know it was a free kick, Derek, a blatant free kick, but the referee didn't give it, and our players were just stopped. Celtic broke. There was nobody tracking back to help the defence out, and we got completely caught. And again, on the right-hand side, James Tavernier was nowhere to be found. And I hate having a go at the guy, because he is a great player, and I keep saying it, but time and time again, Derek, it's costing us, and it was poor from our midfielders also not to track back when that happened, you know, that lapse in concentration again, and, you know, it cost us that one chance. And if that goal hadn't have went in, Derek, and we'd have got away from Parkhead with a 0-0 draw, I think we would all been quite happy with that, wouldn't we? But again, it's you know, the players have let us and themselves down on that occasion, and I just feel we had a slightly different change of tactics and personnel, I think we could have done a lot better, but it's all hindsight now, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it leaves us in the table, played 4, 1-1, drew 2, lost 1, scored 6, conceded 5, goal difference plus 1, and we're sitting on 5 points, as I said. Hearts are on top with 12, Celtic are on second with 9, Killy, Livy and St Johnstone are all on 7, and us, Hibs and Aberdeen are all on 5. That's one thing that happened on Saturday which really benefited us, is the fact that Aberdeen and Hibs did drop points as well. So
I know, and they were beaten, Derek, by two teams they didn't think. And again, that's the annoying thing, that really we should be much, you know, we should have been pulling away for both of them, regardless of the Celtic game. But with the drop points that we've had with Aberdeen and Motherwell, we should be way above them, shouldn't we? You know, at least, you know, if those games had went the way they should have, it would have been 4 points clear of those two teams, and we're not now. We're all in the same amount of points, so pretty disappointing by that way. But as you say, Derek, the season has just started. We are all delighted with the personnel and the way the team's been playing, and here's just hope there's a wee change of fortunes for us when it actually comes to the fine margins, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly one thing that nobody can level at us is that we haven't improved, because we certainly have. It's just blatantly obvious to see. Yep. There's a spirit within the team, and there's a togetherness, it seems, already after such a short time, and are willing to fight for each other. Obviously, you know, as I said, the exploits, I think, of Thursday maybe caught up with them, and it was maybe too soon.
Definitely, Derek. Definitely, it's played a major part. But again, slight change in personnel in that starting team. I think players that didn't play on Thursday coming in, you know, fresh, I think. Again, it's all hindsight, Derek, but I do genuinely feel we would have had more joy with our three sort of, you know, battling midfielders in there, and maybe dropping Morelos and having Lafferty up front with Candias. But, you know, we can't say any more than that, can we?
No. So, next games, we've obviously got the international break just now for the next couple of weeks. So, it's next games at home to Dundee on Saturday the 15th of September, which could be quite interesting because Kenny Miller has signed for them. And well, I've noticed that the Alan Stubbs was also sacked as St Mirren.
Yes.
So, you never know, he might end up being the player coach there. So, next game after that is our first European game, which is away to Villarreal on the 20th of September. That's a 5-6 kickoff. All our away games are at 5-6, and all our home games are at 8 o'clock. So, interesting one there. I've noticed that the Thomas Cook Travel Club haven't decided whether they're going to run a flight to there yet. I don't think so. It'll be very baffling if they don't, because they've certainly had enough time, and it's Spain, Spain after all, and it's out of the main season, so they should have planes free. As I said, I've not defended them in the past, but I've tried to give an explanation of why they haven't likely ran flights. Mm-hmm. So this would be
who was it you used to work for again, Derek?
It used to be a travel company.
Okay.
Yeah. Tam Cock, I think it was in his name.
No, that you're defending them or anything.
Not at all, no. We will hopefully be back with another pod anyway, just after the Villarreal game, probably.
Yep.
But the next game after that, Sunday the 23rd of September, at home to St Johnstone. Then it's Wednesday the 26th of September, at home to Ayr United in the League Cup quarter final. That's a 19:45 kickoff. And Sunday the 30th of September, away to Livingston, is the last game of the month, and that's a 13:30 kickoff. So, thick and fast coming at us in the last 15 days of the season. That's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in the last 15 days. So, tough going. And it's again, just the, it doesn't really help us. The league doesn't really help us now, and it'll be the same for Celtic obviously this week, because they're both in the League Cup quarter final and obviously playing in Europe.
Yep.
So they'll have the same amount of games, so you know, the SPFL are not helping us by trying to condense these League Cups before Christmas.
This is why that it's so important, Derek, that we have added quality to the squad, because we will be using these players, as you say, with the amount of games. especially, no offence to Ayr United because they're playing fantastic just now, but I would suspect that that would be the types of games that our, you know, players who we've brought in, you know, for cover would be getting more game time and things like that. So it is very important that we keep our squad, you know, healthy numbers, and, you know, these players that we've brought in, I think I'll do that for us. So yeah. It's going to be tough, like what you said, Derek. It's a lot of games, but these, the vast majority of those games, I would be expecting us to win and hopefully get some back up the table and fill them all with confidence again. But again, we'll have to wait and see. And I actually think that the international break is going to be a good thing for us just now, Derek. I think it'll let them all regroup, get back on the training field. You know, there's a couple of players away, but I'll give the rest of them perfect time to, you know, get back and start playing again. So it's came at the best time for us, I think.
Yep, absolutely. So now we will go into the classic match.
And there it is, the final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
Dave, you have another high goal thriller for us this time.
Yes, we do. I was looking back again, Derek. I'm kind of obsessed now with looking back at the matches from the Dick Advocaat era at the start, when we, you know, were playing some absolutely sensational stuff. And the game that I picked was a match at home against Dundee United, and the game was played on the 21st of August 1999. Dundee United, as like I said, Rangers manager at that point was Dick Advocaat, and his opposite number that day was Paul Sturrock. The referee for that day I've got written down as Brother Hugh. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. The Rangers team that day was Lionel Charbonnier, Sergio Cabrini, Craig Moore, Lorenzo Amoruso and Tony Vidmar. Into midfield, Rangers had Barry Ferguson, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Claudio Reyna and Neil McCann. And up front, Michael Moles and Rod Wallace, Lorenzo Amoruso being the captain. The Dundee United team at that point, just a couple of players to point out, that Alan Combe was our goalkeeper, Billy Dodds was playing, as well as Stephen, a very young Stephen Thompson back then, Derek. Also a player that I can remember, Magnus Skoldmark, who was affectionately known as Magnus Skidmark back in the day. But anyway, Dundee United were the only team subsequently the season before to win at Ibrox, the only club that had a victory at Ibrox in the previous season. So they, I think, were fancying their chances to cause a wee upset on the day, but it certainly didn't turn out like that. Rangers were as early as the third minute with a chance from Michael Moles at the edge of the box, who had a shot which he fired wide after receiving a fantastic pass from Rod Wallace. Then, and 10 minutes into the game, Claudio Reyna runs for the halfway line and shoots, but takes a deflection safely into the arms of Alan Combe. Neil McCann, not long after that, with a low shot right across, which was a great save by Alan Combe again. But then Rangers finally broke the deadlock after Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was fouled on the edge of the box. On the 22nd minute, Rangers got the free kick.
Packed penalty box. It's Reyna! It's 1-0! Goal number 5 of the season for Claudio Reyna. A superb free kick. Excellent technique. And Dick Advocaat's team will one up.
Claudio Reyna takes the free kick and scores to the left-hand side. Fantastic goal there by Claudio Reyna to put Rangers 1-0 up. And then a few minutes after that, Neil McCann, he shoots and it's deflected over the bar from the corner. And then a few half chances, but Rangers totally in control of the match and went and 1-0 up at half time. Rangers had to make a wee sub at half time. Darius Adamczuk, remember him, Derek? He comes on for Sergio Perini at right back. And then only 5 minutes into the second half, Rangers double their lead.
Moles to Van Bronckhorst. Gets it back. Lovely pass. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Saved by Combe, but he can't keep it out. It's 2 for Rangers. And that's his first of the season. Struck 10 times last season. This was the exchange between the two Dutchmen. Lovely pass from Moles. Opened up the United defence, and Alan Coombe won't want to see that again. He got good hands to it, but he couldn't push it away, and the ball spun off his left hand and into the back of the net.
On the 50th minute, Michael Moles receives a ball on the edge and plays this absolutely incredible reverse pass straight into the path of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, who shoots. The keeper like half saves it, but it spins over his hands and into the net. A bit of a blooper by the goalkeeper there, but we will take it, and Rangers are 2-0 up at that point. Then not long after that, the defence cleared the ball out to Neil McCann with a great run, beats his man, cuts back to Gio Van Bronckhorst on the edge of the box, who shoots wide. A player of his standard, that chance, he would have bet your mortgage on him scoring that, but quite a bad miss by his standard, really should have done better. Dundee United then putting a wee bit of pressure on there. They came close with a header two yards out, and he actually put it over the bar. But then on 50 minutes, Rangers scores their third goal.
Bronckhorst takes the corner quickly. It's Neil McCann and Rod Wallace. That's number three. All sorts of accusing glances in the Dundee United goal mouth. Rangers third, was the cross from Neil McCann, and a header well won by Rod Wallace. The header was down and away from Coombe, and Rangers three goals up.
Some great play. Rangers, they won the corner after great play between Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Almost gets on the end of a 1-2, but then Van Bronckhorst gets on it again, a short to Neil McCann, and he puts a cross, and it was just this huge leap by one of the smallest men on the park, Rod Wallace. I couldn't actually quite believe how high he jumps for this one. Wins the header in the middle of the box and manages to nod it past the goalkeeper to make it 3-0 to Rangers. Great goal. And then Neil McCann with a chip there to Michael Moles on the edge of the box. He had an incredible volley just over. That would have been goal of the season if that had went in. Tremendous stuff. And then a great break by Rangers, which eventually played up the wing to Michael Moles, who is blatantly elbowed in the face. No foul given by the referee, so shows we've got some dodgy decisions against us back then. And then George Alberts actually comes on for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. And then, you know, an absolutely incredible bit of skill by Michael Moles. Alberts gets the ball in the centre of the pitch, chips the balls to Moles in mid-air, and he takes the ball, just to watch this, actually, ask anybody to watch this, but he takes the ball sort of mid-air and turns his man and then tries to chip the goalkeeper all in the one movement. If it came off, the keeper saved it. But if that had came off, it was absolutely sensational if that had came off. But at this point, it was just all Rangers. Tony Vidmar with a low shot from the edge of the box, a great save by Coombe. And then Rangers scored the fourth goal on the 75th minute.
In from Albert, such a miscue. Jim Patterson at the near post that flew up into the air, and no one reacted quicker here than Tony Vidmar. Sliced off the left foot of Patterson, and the powerful downward header was unstoppable.
A corner played in, totally missed by the Dundee United defenders to the back post, and Tony Vidmar was there with the header to make it 4-0 to Rangers. On the 86th minute, though, Dundee United managed to pull one back.
Smith with the corner kick. Up went DeVos. Jason DeVos pulls a goal back for Dundee United. It won't be too much consolation. He's always a threat at set pieces. And the Smith corner kick was buried in the corner of the net, away from Charbonnier. And it's 4-1.
It was a free kick by Billy Dodds. Great save by Lionel Sciarboni out for the corner. But from that corner, Dundee United managed to pull a goal back. Jason DeVos with a header in the centre of the box to make it 4-1. But that's how the game finished. Some fantastic goals. Great skill by Michael Moles. And as always, if you get the chance to go back and watch it, please do so and let us know what you think. Great game to watch. Derek?
Yes, absolutely brilliant. And, you know, it's, you know, you've got to remember these games are going to be a rarity quite shortly, considering Dundee United will probably not be a club for very much longer.
is it bad to laugh at that, Derek?
Not at all. Fuck them. Yes,
anyway.
Dave will have another classic match the next episode, and it's quite interesting to see that he was getting quite into looking back at Dick Advocaat's games as well, so it means he'll maybe do some work and get some more Dick Advocaat games to you.
Get my finger out my backside, you mean, Derek?
Well, I wasn't want to say that, but aye.
I know what you were thinking. Slave driver, right, okay.
So it's now time for the news. Right, not a great deal of news to cover this episode. First thing here is the board resolution to approve a share issue was passed with 84.4% of the vote. So there'll be a new share issue coming soon, which shall, as we kind of discussed earlier on in the previous pods, that it'll kind of go towards raising a wee bit of capital, but as well as diluting some shares and converting the loans that the Three Bears and Dave King had gave us into shares, won't it?
Yeah, yep, not good stuff, Derek, and you know, the better the financial health of the club, you know, the better in the long run for everyone, so certainly looks as if we're going in the right direction.
Yep. Next thing here is, it just broke tonight, that Kenny Miller and Lee Wallace have won their appeal over the fines Rangers issued as part of the Murty bust-up at the end of the last season. Some people are reading a wee bit too much in it. I don't think it exonerates them from any blame of whatever went on. It doesn't clear them in any respect, as far as I'm aware. However, it just means that the panel, the disciplinary panel, agreed that the fines were issued by Rangers were unjust. So I don't know if I'm picking that up wrong, but that's the way I've certainly read it anyway.
Strange, Derek, we actually thought, me and you actually thought that we would never see Lee Wallace in a Rangers strip again, but we were wrong at that point. I think at this point of the season, it's maybe a wee bit foolish just to, you know, not have Lee Wallace involved, you know, in any way, shape or form. I think Steven Gerrard knows that. He's an experienced player, and if he was fit, he would be, you know, a good addition to the squad. I don't think he's as good as Barisic, but Barisic is my favourite player at the moment, but he's certainly good cover to have regardless of what's happened, Derek, and it would be silly for us paying his wages and I'm not being involved in the first team squad. Do you not agree with that?
Yes and no, but you know what, he's going to be on one of the high wage earners there.
Yep.
Certainly from the previous management anyway. As I've said before, is, yeah, he, you know, you've got to respect him for staying, but he wasn't doing it for nothing. He was highly paid for staying. You know, he must have known that, you know, he was going to get held in high regard for that. He played great in the first, you know, going down to the two, League One and Two. In the Championship, he was decent. As soon as he got to the Premiership, he had a really pretty shit season. And then he got injured, and he's obviously had controversy, and, you know, there's a lot of rumours and speculation going on about, was he really injured, was he really not? You're not hiding to nothing, I think, aren't you? It's, you know...
I just think now, Derek, being sensible, if Lee Wallace is fit, he should be in the squad. Just for experience, just for, you know, for playing ability as well. If anything did happen to any of our, you know, left backs or anything like that, I don't think I would be too worried about him playing, especially if he was back fully fit and he was with the first team squad. So I think Steven Gerrard has actually played this very, very well, and very, you know, he's been clever and, you know, very professional about it, which I'm pleased. As I say, he's going to split opinion, but I think just the sensible thing to do is what we're doing at the moment, Derek.
Well, he's certainly not going to be part of the European squad, is he?
Yes, I know, yep.
So.
But I think just with the amount of games that we're going to be playing, I think we could see him more, having more sort of sub-appearances, at least being on the bench for cup games and things like that, which I think is good, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Yep. As Dave mentioned earlier on, Ryan Jack has been called up to the Scotland squad ahead of the Belgium and Albania games after a series of call-offs due to injury. So great for Jack to get called up. However, I just hope that the usual suspects in the crowd don't mar his appearance by booing him again. But you know, certainly it's justified because I think he's been fantastic this year so far, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, it was. He had a quiet game in the last game, Derek, but you know, a lot of people did also. But no, he's certainly been excellent for us, and well deserves his place in the Scotland squad. I think we were all pretty shocked that he wasn't in the, you know, the original squad that was named. So no, I'm pleased for him, Derek, and I keep saying the more international players we've got, it does, you know, raise it for us. It does make people take notice, and it looks much better, and I just hope if he does play, he has a stormer.
Yep. And the last kind of big story we've got here, obviously, is relates to the fan zone. I think we can now call it Fan Zone Gate, can't we?
Yes.
Hold on that big. And it's kind of taken another turn where Susan Aitken has released a statement claiming that Rangers risk stoking sectarianism amid the fan zone row. It led to Club 1872 just in the last day there issuing a fantastic hard-hitting statement which they have referred her deputy and Stephen Dornan to the Commissioner for Ethical Standards in Public Life for Scotland over basically their handling of the whole situation and the leaking of a letter they drafted to Rangers which included inaccuracies and confidential and private emails and information. So shocking behaviour there from somebody who should really know better, who's in a public body. You know, the fans, part of the fans group, what they've said is it came as little surprise to see Miss Aitken, Mr. McDonald, attempt to characterise the wish for transparency and accountability as sectarianism. They added, playing this card, well, is the go-to move for anyone who is taken to task over their questionable actions towards our club and supporters. Doing so immediately ahead of the Old Firm game was beneath contempt. You know, you can't disagree with anything the statement said. That's only a brief snippet there. I urge anybody, regardless if you're supporting Club 1872 or not, to go and read it because it's bang on the money. And it's great to see that, you know, that both the club and Club 1872, whether they're one and the same thing, are taking a hard-hitting, you know, stance on this.
Yes.
And they're not going to take this lying down anymore.
Going down the right route as well, Derek, which is fantastic to see. And here's hoping that we get something positive back from it because, we, you know, we spoke about it at length in the last pod. It was absolutely shocking. So here's hoping we get some good news for that one. And just pleased, as you say, that everybody's taking a stance, a big stance against it. And we're all in complete agreement with that, aren't we?
Yeah, they hit the nail on the head there in terms of this being the go-to move. You know, we're just kind of claiming it's firing up sectarianism. You know, that's a load of absolute bullshit. There's no sectarianism in what, you know, the club and any fans group have said in any of the statements in relation to this. It's just absolutely ludicrous to even come out with that. It's like certain would-be has been recently sacked the journalist claiming it's all about, you know, being a woman is the reason why she got sacked. It's nothing to do with that. It's just, you know, you were an arsehole. So it's the same with this, basically, as, you know, Rangers are doing things for themselves, and it's not stoking sectarianism when it's clear that other clubs have got, you know, very favourable land deals and very favourable and quick resolutions to any issues like this because of who these people support and places of power. So, you know, just absolutely scandalous that they can actually try and come away with this and actually try and, you know, think this is acceptable. So, as you said, we'll wait and see how that goes.
Yes.
So, doctors baffled after man gets 23-inch sex toy stuck inside himself and they can't get it out. Doctors had to get creative after a man was admitted to hospital with a huge sex toy stuck in inside himself and none of their tools could get it out.
How big was it, Derek?
23 inches.
Holy shit.
This happened in Niguarda in Italy. And it was a rather embarrassed 31-year-old male was admitted to hospital there. The unnamed man, surprising, had been attempting to remove the toy for 24 hours before seeking medical assistance. He told doctors he was suffering from mild abdominal pain, but had no other serious symptoms. His x-rays revealed a long, large-sized foreign body in his colon. Traditional removal tools such as polypectomy snare or biopsy forceps were tried by the doctors, but all failed to retrieve the sex toy due to its smoothness and size.
Well, I wonder what his excuse was, Derek. He jumped from the stairs to land on his couch and when he had no clothes on and accidentally landed on top of this thing that was sticking out his couch.
Well,
what do you think?
I don't even know. You know, 23 inches, God help the woman.
Fucking hell.
They had to get creative and they threaded a piece of wire through a catheter to create a noose. It was inserted into the man's body with the wire end wrapping around the sex toy and began tightening them until the item was pulled free.
And he's never ever suffered from constipation since.
Oh, clown's pocket, that's all.
Oh, it's a sleeve. Is that another one? Oh, dearie dear. Okay.
So, on that bizarre note,
yes.
All I can say is if you check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/iReadyPod, our Twitter handle is @iReadyPod. We have a YouTube page, we have a Instagram page, and we also have our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com.
Yeah.
Yes, so as I said earlier on, there's an international break, so we are taking a couple of weeks off, and we will hopefully be back probably after the Dundee game, which is on Saturday the 15th of September. So we'll see if we can get a pod out before the Villarreal game.
Yeah, definitely. Good stuff.
So, all that's left to say is thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.
Yep, keep the faith, people. And we will be back soon. Take care.
Bye.
The stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
It's all right now, just the wee fucker was hiding.